Let's now direct our attention to Lord's Day number 7 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 7, which focuses on the issue of faith, or defining what faith is. And so let's go through these questions together. Are all men then saved by Christ as they have perished in Adam? No. Only those who by true faith are engrafted into Him and receive all His benefits. What is true faith? True faith is not only a sure knowledge, whereby I hold for truth all that has revealed to us in His Word, but also a hearty trust, which the Holy Spirit works in me by the Gospel, that not only to others, but to me also, forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. What then is necessary for a Christian to believe? All that is promised us in the Gospel, which the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith teach us in summary. And what are these articles? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into hell. Third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation, our attention for this instruction is going to be on question and answer 21. Have you ever wondered why have you ever thought about the wording of question and answer 21? Why does it say true faith? Why doesn't it just say what is faith? Well, why qualify it with the word true? Well, there's an assumption there, isn't there? The assumption is that there is such a thing as a false faith, and there is such a thing as a counterfeit faith. Just because someone says that they are a Christian doesn't mean necessarily that they are. People deny the faith all the time. People claim Christ, but yet believe in all these false things that contradict what the Word of God says. Judas, for example, had a counterfeit faith. He appeared to follow Jesus, but in the end he betrayed him. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, there is a man by the name of Simon. He used to be a sorcerer. This is where the church is growing and the preaching of the gospel is going forth to the ends of the earth. And then here comes this sorcerer who hears the preaching of the gospel through Philip. And he responds. And even if you read chapter 8, it says he believed. He believed in what was preached. And afterwards he was baptized. So he believed, he was baptized. But then moments later, the Apostle Peter rebuked Simon. Why? Because when Simon saw the miracles that were taking place, that's where his eye, the object of his faith, truly lied. And so he asked Peter, how much to purchase the power of the Holy Spirit? Name your price. And Peter says, let your money perish with you. Your heart is not your heart is not right in the sight of God. Now, wait a minute. I thought Simon believed. Wasn't he baptized? Well, it appeared he believed at the moment. Externally, he looked like he was a believer. But as a result, he proved himself to have a counterfeit faith, not a true faith. And this is why the Catechism defines true faith in two intertwined parts. First, true faith is defined as true knowledge or believing all that God has revealed in His Word, but if one only truly believes in God's Word, but if one truly believes in God's Word, the second part follows. Right? So there's the objective aspect of our faith, which is the Word of God. But then there is the subjective part, how we respond to what God has revealed. And one who has true faith will not only have the right knowledge, but also will respond with a hearty trust. Or some translations say, a deeply rooted assurance. A deeply rooted confidence. So it's both an external and an internal transformation. Both the mind and the heart are renewed. When illustrating a counterfeit faith, Jesus gives us the parable of the sowers. Right? The farmers throwing the seeds, and the seeds land on different types of soil. And one of the soils that the seeds land on was rocky soil. And then the parable unfolds by saying there was an immediate sign of life. There is shot up a plant out of that rocky soil. But then when the sun got too hot, that plant withered away and died. And so Jesus says, likewise, there are people who initially respond to the preaching of the gospel, but then when there's persecution, when the times get tough, when there's a stumbling block, then they walk out of the faith. And then an illustration. So that's an illustration of counterfeit faith with that parable. Now, an illustration of a deeply rooted faith can be found in many places in Scripture, but I'll pick one. One of them is found in at the end of John chapter 6. Jesus preaches one of his most famous sermons called the Bread of Life Discourse. And here is a crowd of thousands of people surrounding him, and he preaches, I am the bread of life. He who eats of this bread will live forever. And then he intensifies his language about what it means to truly believe on him, to have true faith in him, the people began to become squeamish. This is a hard saying. And if you can picture that in your mind, this is not a prophet. This is the Son of God, God in the flesh, preaching the gospel to thousands of people, and all these thousands of people that initially had this passion and desire to follow him walked away. And then Jesus turns to the disciples and said, do you also want to go away? And remember the words of Peter. Without hesitation, Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is a deep-rooted assurance, a deeply rooted faith, or deep-rooted confidence. Lord, where else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Because this confession that Peter makes doesn't come from Peter. This confidence doesn't come from Peter. This is the work of the Holy Spirit working in Peter, working faith in Peter's heart. And that is the truth for all believers. Now, as Peter was making that confession, he didn't know anything about Judas, which is why Jesus calls him out, calling him a devil. But for Peter, his trust leaned completely on the word of Christ alone. There is no other Savior. There is nowhere we can go to find forgiveness of sins. There is no other righteousness than Christ's righteousness alone to trust in. There is nowhere else where we will turn to other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. So this hearty trust, this deeply rooted confidence, doesn't come naturally. It comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit opens our eyes and causes us always to go back to Christ all the way throughout our life. Amen?